We exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
What it is that God really wants to do with us. And as I'm talking about as I mentioned earlier, we're starting a brand new series that we're going to be walking through for the next few weeks. And it's a two-worded title. And it's called This Christmas. And immediately, if you guys have any type of recollection of some old school songs or some Christmas songs, you may remember this song from back in the day, called This Christmas. I would kind of ask us to sing some of the words, but I feel like that may be an epic fail, and some of you guys may be all over the place with it, outside of maybe a few of you guys. But nonetheless, it's a really cool song. It's a cool song because it kind of captures the essence of people just enjoying the season and all that good stuff. But even more so for us, the series is not just about the song This Christmas. As a matter of fact, it has nothing to do with it. It's kind of just a really cool tagline that we've called this series. But this series is really about making this Christmas season your best and greatest Christmas season that you've ever had in your life. That's what this season is all about. And I believe that every person who came here today to be able to hear what it is that God has to say to you to move you to the place that he ultimately wants you to be in this season especially. So this whole series, This Christmas, and we actually got a graphic up there, and you'll see this on social media, and we want you guys to share it with others. Man, if you're on Facebook, follow us up there, The Bridge Church VA, and the same thing on Instagram, The Bridge Church VA, and follow us up there, share these photos, share these things, so that way other people can hear about it and see about it and all that good stuff. But here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that this Christmas season, you will experience God's grace and God's peace and God's love like you've never experienced it before. That you will begin to see just an overflow of things happening in your life that are just unexplainable and supernatural. I'm talking about things in your life like relationships that were dead, you know, with your family or with people that you kind of maybe have held a grudge against, whatever the case may be, that you're seeing those things just beginning to fall by the wayside, division, where there was division in your life, you're beginning to see God reconciling things. That's what I'm really hoping for. And I believe that many of us in here want the same thing. Amen? Amen? Like, I believe that you want to see God's best for your life. Just by a show of hands, who does? Who wants to see God's best for your life, man? Amen. That should be every person's hand up in here. And I believe that God wants to deliver that to you and that God wants to bring that to you. So we're starting this new series today called This Christmas. And as I mentioned, this series is all about you just experiencing God's best for your life. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be walking through a different thought each week. It's kind of a topical series. And we're just going to kind of speak to a few things that oftentimes plague people during the Christmas season. You know, you're going to be getting up with family members and you're getting up with friends. And let's just be honest, like those can be very interesting and colorful times, if you will. You know, like everybody kind of has that uncle that's kind of crazy. Everybody has that cousin that's just like, did he smoke something before he came here? You know, like everybody kind of, like you have these different things. Or there's, you know, some division that's happening or some insecurity about some things. And you want to be able to buy your kids all these different gifts, but you don't have the resources to be able to do it. And so we're kind of faced and plagued with a whole lot of different scenarios. And oftentimes it's a challenge to try to navigate through all these things during a Christmas holiday. But my hope, though, is that as God speaks to us over these next 4 weeks, that you will begin to see that he is the King of Kings, he is the Prince of Peace, that his grace is sufficient for you in every situation. So this Christmas is the name of this series. And the season, this Christmas season for believers and for the church is oftentimes called the season of Advent. And you may have heard this term if you've been a part of a church or have any type of a church experience. Maybe you've heard that, and depending on your, you know, tradition, whatever kind of church background you had, you may have saw some people lighting up some candles or doing some other type of, you know, traditional type of things or whatever the case may be. But the season is oftentimes referred to as the season of Advent, which is a Latin word for arrival or coming, which speaks ultimately to the arrival of Jesus. It speaks to the birth of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It speaks to what is known as the incarnation of Jesus, which is when he came from heaven to earth and was born as a baby. In other words, Jesus came from heaven to earth. He put on flesh. In other words, he walked this earth just like you and I walk this earth right now. Like he was 100% human, and at the same time, he was 100% God. And oftentimes, it's crazy to try to even comprehend that, but that's what makes him so amazing, and that's what makes him so awesome. And so in the Western church, or which is kind of us, the Western hemisphere, if you will, of the world, the Advent season typically comprises of the four Sundays leading into the Christmas day itself. So technically, last Sunday would have been like the first Sunday to start the Advent season, if you will, just to give you a little bit of background. And so as believers, though we celebrate the arrival and the birth of Jesus, we look at it through the lens of his finished work. So it's not like one of those things where we're like, we're waiting for Jesus to be born. You know, he already came to earth. He died. He lived a perfect life. He suffered. He bled. He died for our sins. He resurrected on the third day. He ascended to heaven, which is where he is now. And so now as the church, we look back at his arrival, his first advent, and we also now look towards his second advent. I love the song that we were actually just singing because it talks about the second coming of Christ. So in other words, Jesus didn't just come once, but he's ultimately coming back again. And he said that in his word, and you can trust and believe that he will do it. And so just to give, that's to kind of give you a little bit of understanding of what this season is about. And so as we're in this series, this Christmas, I'm calling today's message, this is part one of our series, and if you're taking notes, this would be a great place to write some notes down, and I kind of figured I would, you know, kind of lighten up the mood a little bit. And so today's message, I'm simply calling, don't be a Grinch. Tell the person beside you, don't be a Grinch. That was the wrong person. Find somebody else. Tell them, don't be a Grinch. That's what I'm calling today's message. And so we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, a powerful passage of scripture here that in this passage of scripture, it also contains an element of what we're talking about this Christmas season, which is the advent or the arrival of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, we got it on the screen in case you guys don't have a Bible. It says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. And in my insolence, I persecuted his people. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and the love that come from Christ Jesus. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. And here's where the Christmas incarnation story comes in. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. You know what that means? There's hope for you. That's what it means. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. Anybody excited and grateful for the fact that like there is no end to God? Like he's the beginning and the end. You know what I mean? The unseen one who never dies, he alone is God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for this opportunity to hear from your word. We pray that you would speak to our hearts in these brief moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't be a Grinch. When you go home today, when you go to work tomorrow, and you're at work and you're, you know, clocking in and all this good stuff, and people who may know you go to church service and are part of a local church, and they may ask you, what did the preacher and the pastor talk about yesterday, right? Or if you got some neighbors like mine, what did the preacher talk about? Some of my new neighbors. You can tell them, the preacher said, don't be a Grinch. Now, immediately as I kind of shared this sermon title, you probably immediately begin to go back to this fictitious character known as the Grinch, written who was created by this guy by the name of Dr. Seuss, and he wrote this story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Now, I know some of us in here, many of us may be familiar with this story, but just out of respect for some of you guys who don't know anything about the Grinch at all, just to give you a Cliff Notes version, the Grinch was this character who just was evil and had hatred in his heart towards Christmas. He absolutely hated Christmas. He was very similar to another character that many of you guys know called Ebenezer Scrooge. I was thinking about actually calling this sermon, Don't Be a Scrooge. And then I was like, maybe I can call it, Don't Be a Scrooge or a Grinch. But then I was like, you know what, we'll just keep it simple and say, Don't Be a Grinch. But Ebenezer Scrooge was very similar to this because whenever you would say something like, Merry Christmas, he would say something like, Bah humbug. That's kind of how the Grinch had a viewpoint towards Christmas. He has such a negative perspective on Christmas, so much to the point that he disguised himself as Santa Claus and tormented those poor, adorable people of this place called Whoville. As he saw all the Christmas lights up and as he saw all the decorations and as he saw all the presents and all those type of things, he just absolutely hated Christmas and couldn't stand it whatsoever. So he dressed up as Santa Claus, and he literally went in and stole all the gifts and destroyed all of Christmas for those people there. And it was amazing because the Grinch was like taking so much pride in the fact that he thought that he had destroyed Christmas by stealing all their gifts, by destroying all their decorations. And it was interesting because that in the midst of all the evil and the wicked things that the Grinch had done, here's what was crazy. In the midst of all those things that happened, the Grinch, like, looked on and still saw that the people of Whoville were still having a Merry Christmas. They were still singing. They were still jolly. They were still enjoying themselves. It was crazy. And immediately he was like, hold on. Christmas must be about something bigger than gifts and presents. It has to be something more than this. Now, I don't know about you, How the Grinch Stole Christmas is one of my favorite Christmas stories and movies because I think it just has an amazing redemptive element where you have this guy who's the Grinch. He starts off evil, maniacal, just terrible. But then by the end of the story, he's singing with them. He's enjoying their company. He's having a good time with them. He even tries to bring out all their gifts back to them, right? And it's amazing because you kind of see this redemptive story. But before you can get to the end of the story, you got to begin to appreciate what happened in the beginning of the story. This dude was bad. He was jacked up, y'all. He was messed up. Like, he had no, like, I think the song that was made up of the Grinch, you know, you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch, like, his heart was, like, extremely small. Like, he just hated everything about Christmas. He was just evil. He was just nasty. He just had nothing good to say. Here's what I've realized, that all of us have a tendency to be a Grinch. You know, the person sitting next to you probably won't be honest about it, but they have a tendency to be a Grinch too. I know you guys don't believe me. Here's what the scripture says in Psalm 51 and 5. It says, "For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceive me." What do I mean by being a Grinch? Now, granted, you may not be the Grinch in terms of being dressed in some green flannel suit or whatever the case may be with a big stomach hanging all over your belt buckle that's like Santa Claus style. But you may be the type of Grinch that's just evil and just is just terrible and just being hateful, just rude, just mean, just dismissive and divisive. And you just kind of have this character that's a Grinch. Like, you know, you ball your face up, somebody tries to smile at you and you squint your eyes at them. It's like, ooh, stop smiling at me. Jim Carrey was a great Grinch, by the way. But let's just be honest. Many of us in here, all of us in here have been like the Grinch. You've had some Grinch days in you. Not just during the Christmas season, but in plenty of other seasons in your life as well. Right? Here's some characteristics of a Grinch. Grinch in your conduct. You act hostile towards others. You do things that only benefit you. You do things that are just evil towards people. Grinch in your attitude. You're critical about everything. Just negative about all things. Somebody tries to say something positive about something, you find a negative quick. You know what that's called? A Grinch. Always feeling like you have to put somebody in their place. Just Grinch in their attitude. Or maybe a Grinch in your speech. The majority of your words are negative. They're not life-giving. I got a friend on Facebook right now that I'm really contemplating not just unfriending but blocking. Because every time I see him post something, it's always negative, and he's a believer. I'm like, dude, you know the Lord Jesus. I know you pretty well. And every time you get up here, you're saying something negative. You are a Grinch. Don't nobody want to be around you. Just Grinch in your speech. Nothing good to say. Or maybe you're a Grinch in your speech because you gossip and you spread rumors. By the way, that's sin. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. All of us are a Grinch in some capacity. You got some Grinch in you. I don't know if you knew that or not. Let somebody catch you on the wrong day at the wrong time. Let somebody go to work tomorrow and not be feeling the best. Snot dribbling out your nose and you don't feel good. Head got a headache and head cold and all that type of stuff. Somebody says, good morning. It's not a good morning. Oh my gosh, he's a Grinch, right? I want to help us this Christmas season not to be a Grinch. Like, I want you to be able to enjoy your Christmas time when you're hanging out with family and friends and you're eating dinner and you're going to visit family and members and all this good stuff, and you're not the one that is known for being the Grinch. I want to help you get past that place because all of us have the tendency to be this type of person. And it all brings us to this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Because you have this guy by the name of the Apostle Paul, and he's writing this letter, or this epistle, which simply means letter, to his young protege, this guy by the name of Timothy, who actually is a pastor. And his words in 1 Timothy and also 2 Timothy are very pastoral in nature. Matter of fact, these two epistles, along with the book of Titus, are oftentimes referred to as the pastoral epistles because they oftentimes speak to the role and to the office and to the responsibility of the elder or to the pastor. But in this passage in particular, Paul begins to pin some words in verse 15 that we'll talk about in a moment that contains something very powerful that connects with this Christmas season, and that he's speaking to the birth and to the arrival and to the advent of, if you will, of Jesus Christ. Now, what's also interesting about this is that the Apostle Paul, if you kind of know anything about this guy, he was a Grinch, y'all. This dude was bad news. You think the Grinch was a Grinch? The Apostle Paul was a Grinch. Here's what he says in verse 13. Notice what he says. Or better yet, let's start at verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him. Many of us would get excited about that and shout about that. But notice what Paul says next. Even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. Even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. Do you know what Paul was called before he was called Paul? He was called Saul. He had a whole other name, y'all. He was a Grinch prior to experiencing the grace of Christ. He was negative. Matter of fact, he says in his own words that he used to blaspheme the name of Christ. Some of your translations would say he called himself a blasphemer. That simply means to speak evil of the name of Christ. In other words, he denied Jesus. He hated Jesus. Absolutely hated him because he thought that Jesus was a false Messiah. Paul was of the Jewish faith. And so he knew all about all the scriptures in the Old Testament. He knew all about the coming Messiah. And in his mindset, Jesus was not the one that was talked about back in the Old Testament. And so because he's seeing and hearing all these things that Jesus is doing and that Jesus did, and after Jesus resurrected, Jesus went and ascended to heaven, Paul around this time now begins to, because he hates Jesus so much and thinks he's a false Messiah, he begins to now, as Paul would say later, persecute those who believed in Jesus as well. So not only did he hate Jesus, he hated Jesus' people. He hated the church. I don't know about y'all, man. That's a Grinch. That's a Grinch. And because he hated Jesus, you know what this also says? He hated God. Because here's what Jesus says in John 15, 23. Whoever hates me, hates my Father as well. So this is why I have a problem with people saying things like, you know, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. Well, you can't have one without the other. If I say I don't believe in Jesus, well, you don't really believe in God. You believe in a little g God, not the true and living God, not the one who created all things. Jesus says, if you hate me, you hate my Father as well. And so Paul, here's what was crazy. Before he was called Paul, he was called Saul. He thought in his mind he was doing the right thing. I've never met a person who was a Grinch who thought they were doing the wrong thing. Every Grinch that I've known throughout the course of my life thought they were justified in their actions. Oh, they just deserved it. Right? Start waving the Grinch finger. No, 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 no. I don't know where that came from. It's the parent giant. No, 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 no. Like that's kind of the Grinch type of mentality that the Apostle Paul had. This Jesus, no, 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 no. He's not the real Messiah. These people who are following him, man, this is heresy. I hate them too. And you know how bad he hated them? He hated them to the point where he was getting them arrested and giving orders and an agreement with their execution. Now, I don't know about y'all. That's real. The Grinch ain't killed nobody. He just tried to kill Christmas. Paul was killing people who were called Christians. Paul was a Grinch, y'all. 100% Grinch. Now, many of us in here, most of us in here, we don't have that type of animosity in a certain way. But nonetheless, we may have animosity in our heart towards certain people. Let's be real. You prayed and you've hoped, and I hope they get fired. Y'all never said, oh, you want to be holy today, huh? Yeah. I just hope something bad happens to them. Oh, I'm all up in your tea today. I'm all up in your Kool-Aid today. This is the stuff that you don't tell nobody, but you're thinking like, oh my gosh, he actually called me out. Or you said stuff like that. Matter of fact, you even got real spiritual, started to ask God to do things and get involved. God, I hope you let them lose their job and transition them to something better. You know what that's code for? I hope they get fired. Don't be spiritual. We all got that little bit of Grinch in us, man. We all got it in us. And Paul was 100% transparent with it. He was a persecutor of the church. Matter of fact, Acts 8 and 3 says Paul, or Saul, before he was called Paul, he began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. This dude was a bona fide Grinch. Then he says in some translations that he was a violent man. He hated anything that resembled the love of Jesus. Paul had straight hate in his heart, just like the Grinch. And many of us in here have dealt with and maybe are dealing with the same exact thing right now. So you may not have animosity in your heart towards certain things, but let's be honest, maybe there's some animosity in your heart towards other things. You're cool with some of your family members, but some of your other family members you're not cool with. You got straight animosity towards them. You only want to be around them. You only want to be in the same room as them. You can't even speak to them. You can't even look at them a certain way. I know I'm making some of us uncomfortable because, you know, you're kind of looking real crazy right now. But God is speaking to you because he wants to uproot some things to help you not become a Grinch, but to help you become a person of love. That's the type of thing that God wants to do in our life. Paul had hatred in his heart, just like the Grinch. And you and I, let's be honest, man, we've had hatred in our heart. Man, some of us have had hatred in our heart towards people who don't even look like us, people who are of a different ethnicity, people who are of a different economic makeup, people who live in a different neighborhood. You got a certain prejudice about you towards, about them in your heart. That's Grinchy type of stuff, y'all. And Jesus is trying to help us not to be a Grinch. I'll say it like this, that what you believe shapes who you become. And who you've become is revealed in how you behave, man. So whatever's in your heart is going to come out in some capacity. It's going to influence how you make decisions. It's going to influence where you go. It's going to influence how you spend your money. It's going to influence the decisions that you make as it relates to relationships. It's going to influence all these type of things because of what's in your heart. But here's the good news, y'all. Just like the Grinch experienced a transformation in his story, the Apostle Paul experienced a transformation in his story. And because he experienced a transformation in his story, you and I could also experience a transformation in ours. Let's look at what Paul says here in verse 14. After he says that I persecuted the people, he says this, but God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and the love that come from Christ Jesus. Here's two things I want to give you that will help you not to be a Grinch this holiday season and help you not to be a Grinch in any season in your life. And I hope you're taking notes. Here's number one. Number one, believe in what Jesus has done. There was a scene in that awesome How the Grinch Stole Christmas movie played by Jim Carrey. That movie's awesome, by the way. I mean, it's pretty good. For some reason, they're not showing it on TV this year. I think I'm going to write a letter. I'm just messing. But nonetheless, it was an amazing scene in that movie because his heart, it literally said it enlarged. It went from here to here. It literally was beating out of his chest. It was an amazing visual. That's symbolic of a transformation that took place on the inside of him. And you know what Paul is saying right here? There was something that took place on the inside of him. It wasn't a superficial thing like in the story of the Grinch Stole Christmas, because that was fictitious. But it was a supernatural thing that happened in the life of the Apostle Paul. That a cold and callous heart that was in the Apostle Paul was now a heart of flesh and blood. It was beating. It was living for the Lord. Why? Because of something that he says here in verse 14, but more importantly in verse 15. He says, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. What is Paul trying to help us understand? That in order for you to experience this transformation on the inside, because God is not after your behavior modification. God is after your heart transformation. I've known plenty of people who put up a good poker face, but beneath they got something that's really wicked and evil. God is not after what's on the surface. He's after what's beneath the surface, because if he can correct what's in here, he'll correct what's out here. And we don't need behavior modification. We need a heart transformation. And what Paul is advocating for here is that, hey, if you want to experience the same transformation that I experienced, you know what you got to do? Accept what Jesus came to do, which was that he came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. You know what Paul is saying? Believe the good news of Christ. When Paul is talking about this here in verse 15, that Jesus Christ came into the world, it goes back to what I was mentioning earlier. This is the whole doctrine of incarnation, meaning that Jesus came from heaven and he came to earth, wrapped up in flesh. John chapter 1, verse 15 says it like this. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus is oftentimes called the Word, or the Logos, if you will. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, that's Jesus, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm so glad that I don't have a God who's just sitting under the cosmos, just chilling. But I'm so glad that our God loved me so much that he was willing to leave heaven, his throne in heaven, and come to a dirty place called earth to dwell with dirty people like you and me, so that way we could go from earth back to heaven. He came from heaven to earth. He was born in a dirty place, y'all. He was born in this place called a manger, which is actually called a feeding trough, which was nasty, by the way. Here it is, the light of the world was born in a dark place, because mind you, they didn't have lights like we got here on the stage. It was dark. And he was also born in a dirty place. Mind you, it wasn't clean like this. The light of the world was born in a dark place, so that way that dark place can now exhibit the light of the world. The clean king known as King Jesus came to a dirty world, so that way the dirty world and the people of this world who receive his testimony of what he's done can now be made clean. I don't know about y'all, man. That's a good place to say amen. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. The sole purpose of Jesus coming into this world was to give you a pardon, y'all. That's why Jesus came. Jesus ain't come to make you rich. That's like Western civilization, Western church type of thing. That's like Western culture, that Jesus exists for us. No, we exist for Jesus. Jesus ain't come to give you no job. Now, I'm not saying that he's not going to provide. No, that's not what I'm saying. Your greatest debt was not money. Your greatest debt was spiritual. And he came to earth to pay that debt for you. He came to earth to say, you know what? All your sins, I'm willing to forgive them. All you got to do is receive me. Past, present, and future. That's why Jesus came. He came to earth to pardon us of our sins. Romans 3:23 says it like this, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which means that the person that you're sitting next to, they're just as much of a sinner as you. Y'all sin with the best of them. I sin with the best of them. Just because I'm preaching this word doesn't mean that I'm excluded from this. No, Jesus has saved me by his grace, just like he saved those of us who call ourselves Christians by his grace. And because of his great love and him saving us from our sin, he calls us to now be a part of the family of God. Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. He ain't come so that way you can go from being a bad person to a good person. No. Your problem, your dilemma was much worse than that. Ephesians 2 says it like this: you were dead in your trespasses, which means that your sins was the reason why you were spiritually separated from God. And that was something that nobody could ever change except Jesus himself. And Paul understood this. He said, I was the worst of sinners. Why does Paul say he was the worst of sinners? Did you just read his list? I persecuted the church. I killed Christians. I blasphemed the name of Christ. And here's what Paul is saying. If Jesus can forgive me of my sins, surely he can forgive anybody else. If his grace was sufficient to cover my iniquity, his grace is sufficient to cover the iniquity of Hampton, of Newport News, of Virginia Beach, of Chesapeake, of Richmond, of every other city in the Hampton Roads, Tidewater area. That's what he's saying. Paul says this firsthand because he's experienced this grace. Matter of fact, if you go back and read the Apostle Paul's transformation story in Acts chapter 9, he literally had this road to Damascus, if you will, experience. We call it that. But he was on this road traveling to this place called to Damascus, and he sees Jesus on the road. He meets him on the road. Matter of fact, he doesn't meet Jesus. Jesus meets him. And the good news is, man, God ain't waiting for you to get yourself together because you wouldn't be able to get yourself together on your own. He says, because I know you can't get right on your own, I'm going to come to you and help you get right. That's what he did for us. And that's what Paul is advocating for here. That if you want to go from being a Grinch to the person that God's called you to be, it starts by you believing in what Jesus has done. That's why he says this trustworthy statement is worth full acceptance. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Why did he do this? Because of his grace and his love. Paul says that earlier. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. What does Paul mean by grace? Grace simply means God's undeserved favor and love, which means, man, you didn't deserve anything that God gave you. Guys, God just blessed us with a new house. I'm sitting in this thing last night. I'm looking around like, dog, we ain't deserve none of this. Man, we ain't even supposed to be here. We got these cars. We ain't supposed to have this. And I believe you can say the same thing about your life. Some of you guys were the first people to graduate in your whole entire family from college, from high school, from school period. You ain't supposed to do that with all the odds that were stacked up against you. Some of you guys have experienced crazy stories where you've gone to doctors and they said you would never have kids. And now you're having kids. And I've had kids. That ain't supposed to happen. You know what that happens? You know what that is called? God's grace. It was undeserved. It was unmerited. You didn't work for it. When doctors said it can't happen, when pundits said it can't happen, when everybody else around you said it can't happen and you won't ever see it, God says, no, you will, because I am that good of a God. That's how gracious he is, man. That's what Paul is saying here. Paul's like, man, I had no business being an apostle. I was trying to destroy the church, and now Jesus is calling me to plant churches? Isn't that ironic that God would cause us to do such a thing? That the one who was violently against and so passionately against the church is now passionately for the church. Only God can do such a thing like that. Paul was changed not by what he did, but by believing in what Jesus did for him. Our response to Jesus' grace is simply just to receive it. This is why it's so hard for so many people to become Christians, because they think that the Christian message, the gospel message, is too good to be true. I got to do something in order to get into the family of God. There's surely something that I have to do to be accepted by God, to be forgiven of my sins. No, the good news is that you don't have to, because it's already been done for you. That's what it's about. And I honestly believe if you carried this message with you to work tomorrow and on a regular basis, people would be foaming at the mouth for an opportunity to give their life to Christ. If you would just go and tell them, man, Jesus has already taken care of this for you. That's what this Christmas season is all about. That's why he came into this world, to do something for you that you can never do for yourself. That's what it's about. It's not about gifts. It's not about presents. Those are great. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not about all the 25 days of Christmas movie that's going to be on Freeform that I'm going to start watching tonight. I think Elf comes on tonight, and if it does, man, God is good. But it's not about that, man, because Elf can't pay for my sin because he is sinner too. It ain't about Santa Claus, man. Santa Claus, man, he need grace too. And his fictitious self, I guess. But nonetheless, in all seriousness, man, this season is all about what Christ has done for us. And Paul is trying to advocate this to Timothy. He's reminding Timothy of this, to tell his church this, that Jesus Christ came into the world to die for us and to take upon himself our sins. And here's what it should result in. That if you want to go from not being, if you want to go from being a Grinch this season to becoming the person that God's called you to be what I call a life-giving person, no longer somebody who's draining the life out of the room. You guys know people like that. They come in a room and they just suck the life out. Everybody's having a good time and they just come in and just stink the whole thing up. Matter of fact, when they come in a room, everybody just get quiet. Because don't nobody want to have anything to say because they think if they're going to say something, and it's going to get ridiculed by the person who came in here with a negative spirit. You know people like that. And I don't want you to be like that this holiday season because I think we got a lot of that around already. But as the people of God, God is calling us not to be a Grinch, but to be people of grace. And in order for that to happen, when we begin to believe and when we receive what Christ has done for us, here's what God calls us to do. Man, be grateful for what Jesus has done for us. Notice what Paul says here in verse 17. He says, all honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. Verse 17, the beginning part, is where I want to focus. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. You notice that Paul is giving a certain type of a praise to God. This is called a doxology, which simply means a praise offered up to God. Matter of fact, he starts this portion of scripture with a praise to God. Notice verse 12. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul, what do you got to be thankful for? Because I remember how trifling and no good I was. I remember how nasty and ugly I was. I remember how I used to persecute Christians. I remember how I never used to have anything positive to say. I remember how I used to suck the life out of the room, literally would take life out of people. I remember that. So I thank Christ Jesus my Lord that I'm no longer that person. He's offering this expression of praise to God because of what Christ has done for him. You and I, in order for us not to be a Grinch this season, it starts with us believing in what Christ has done for us, but being grateful for what Christ has done for us. And last time, and when I begin to realize what Christ has done for me, and all the times when I begin to reflect on how faithful he has been, it immediately begins to take away any type of a negative perspective and a negative spirit that I may be trying to conjure up on the inside. Somebody did something to me. You know what? I'm not even going to get offended by you because I offended God more and he forgave me for it. I'm going to love you. Man, you know what? That didn't go my way. But you know what? I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, man, because I shouldn't even be here right now. I should be dead in my sin, in my trespasses. But thanks be unto God that he is rich in mercy and that he has made me alive in Christ Jesus. I have no reason to be upset with you. I have no reason to be a Grinch at all. I have every reason to be grateful for what God has done for me. That's what Paul is advocating for here, that we be grateful for what Christ has done for us. That's what this season of Christmas is about. It's about giving thanks to God for Jesus, for him giving us his only begotten son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting and eternal life, which simply means this, that you have an everlasting relationship with God the Father that will never be separated. It will never be severed. There is nothing that you can do to destroy that relationship because there was nothing that you could do to restore that relationship. That's what it's about. And we have every reason to be thankful. And when we begin to counter the Grinch spirit with a grateful spirit, man, you'll begin to see that things around you will ultimately begin to change. I'll say it like this, that the byproduct of receiving grace is gratefulness. Show me a person who isn't grateful in life, and I will show you a person who doesn't understand God's grace for their life. Every ungrateful person or every Grinchy type of person that I've known is always a person who is not grateful for what God has done for them. All the time. It's consistent. But a person who's received grace from God, the natural response to receiving this awesome grace is to offer up thanksgiving to God. That's why you come here on Sunday. Not out of like ritualistic duty. No, this is a response to what God has done. Guys, we moved in our house yesterday. I ain't go to sleep till like 2 o'clock last night. You think I felt like getting up out of bed? No! You think I care about y'all that much? Yes, but no. I was so close to be like, yo, I need somebody else to come preach. I was about to call literally my best friend, my pastor. Hey, I need you to come preach for me, bro. But you know what? When I think about what God has done for me, man, he was born in a manger. He suffered and bled on the cross. If he pushed through that pain on Calvary for me, Who am I not to push past a few hours of sleep or the lack thereof for him? Y'all get what I'm saying? So it's a response to what God has done. I'm grateful for what God has done. So nobody has to force me to come to church service on Sunday. I don't come to church service on Sunday because I'm a pastor. I come to church service on Sunday because I've received this grace. And it's me offering up Thanksgiving. Man, I got to be almost dead to not be in church service on Sunday. Dead. I'm talking like can't move. And even then, I'm probably going to call somebody. I need a stretcher so I can get to the house of the Lord to worship the Lord today. I'm getting in there. I'm going to get my healing this morning. Because, man, God has been too good to me. That's what Paul is advocating here. Y'all want to know how Paul's story ended? He became an apostle. He planted churches all over the Middle East, all over Turkey, all over other places in that Eastern Hemisphere during the first century time. But you know how it ended for him? He believed so much in what Jesus had done for him that he was willing to suffer for it so much to the point he was beheaded for his faith. Beheaded. Check this out, y'all. The same Grinch that was trying to behead people for their faith, or for their faith, has now become a follower of Jesus and is now willing to die for his faith. That's called grace. He went from being a Grinch to being a person of grace. And my hope and prayer for us this holiday season is that you won't be a Grinch at the dinner table. You won't be the one stirring up controversy at the dinner table. You heard such and such coming to Christmas this year? Mm-hmm. I heard. Trifling self. No, I don't want us to be like that. Rather, I want it to be like, oh, such and such is coming to Christmas this year? Man, this is an opportunity for me to share Christ with them. This is an opportunity for me to lead them to Christ. That's what I want us to do. That's the type of people that I want us to be. People of grace. Band, you guys can come up. I'm closing. This Christmas, I don't want us to be people who divide. But I want us to be people who unify. I don't want us to be Grinch type of people. Because here's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to reconcile people to God and to one another. That's the vision statement of our church. And he didn't have to. He did it because of his love for us. And so his people who have received his grace, you know what they're called to do? The same. To not be people who divide, man. To not be people who are negative and vindictive, man. So you go to work tomorrow, man. Change your atmosphere, man. Maybe like God is convicting you right now because of the tone that you've taken with certain people on your job. You're training certain people and getting all impatient with them. You just can't get it. You slow. And God's like, pump the brakes, man. I extended grace to you. Not forgave you of your sins. Extended to others. Don't be the people who divide people at the job or in your family. Pitting people against each other, man. No. He's called you to reconcile, man. And the Christmas season is a beautiful time to do that. Because, guys, believe it or not, statistics have shown this. This is statistically proven. More people are open this time to receive the gospel message than any other time during the year, even on Easter, during this season. And I believe that God is waiting for his people to step up to the plate and to not be a Grinch, but to be people who share his grace. And so if you want to be delivered from being a Grinch, man, you got to be a recipient of God's grace. So here's what this means. If you're not a Christian, that means you got to receive God's gift in Jesus by believing in what he did for you. You're a sinner. He came to die for your sins. It's good news, man. All you got to do is receive it by faith. But if you're a Christian and you've been a Grinch, man, you need to repent, which simply means you need to turn the other way. You need to turn the other way from certain words that you've been using, profanity, whatever, impure speech, impure attitude, impure conduct. Man, you got to turn from that. Because God has called you to something so much greater. Paul was thankful that God saved him. Paul was also thankful that God used him to be a dispenser of his grace. God wants to use you and I this Christmas season to be an agent of change. And so today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you an honest question. Have you been a Grinch, man? Maybe all year you've been one. Maybe for the past few weeks you've been one. Maybe last night, maybe on the way here, you were arguing with your spouse, arguing with your kids last night, whatever the case may be, just a Grinch. But here's the good news, man. There's grace for that. God says, I forgive you of that, but I need you to turn away from it. I need you to be somebody who is not just a recipient of my grace, but somebody who replicates it and who shares it. I need you to be somebody who doesn't point out the flaws in others. I need you to be somebody who speaks life into others. I need you to be somebody who's not quick to point out negativity and quick to bring up the problem. No, I need you to be somebody who's quick to show the possibility of something. He says, that's what I'm calling you to this season. And if you're here this morning, and you're saying, you know what, I don't know Jesus. I don't have a relationship with him. I've been a Grinch. And I've tried to change my behavior. It just didn't work. Tried to change things that I say. It always comes back. Here's what that means. It means you're trying to save yourself from something that you don't have the ability to do. And God says, but let me step in and I'll clean you up. I'll make you into a new creature. I'll make you into a new person. I'll forgive you of all your sins, past, present, and future. There's no guilt. There's no shame. There's nothing. All you have to do is receive it by faith. So if that's you this morning, and you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to receive what he's done for me. I want to receive the fact that he came into this world, was born into this world, lived for 33 years, he died for my sins, and he rose on the third day so that I could have a new life. If that's you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you came into this world for me. And I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I could have new life, so that I could be a part of your family. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And just in this moment, because I really believe that all of us in here, man, we struggle with this whole Grinch thing. We struggle with it, if you'd be honest. I know I've struggled with it, still struggle with it. It's so easy just to snap back at somebody, clap back at somebody, whatever terminology you want to use. But God is like, man, no. I want you to be bigger than that because I've given you great grace. So here's my honest plea as your pastor. I want us to be people of hope this Christmas season. I want us to be people who are extending grace to people. They're extending love to people. Because that's what Christ did for the Apostle Paul. But more importantly, that's what Christ did for you. Amen? Amen? Come on, let's put our hands together for what God has done, for his grace. Amen. If you're here this morning, you made that decision, you prayed that prayer, you gave your life to Christ, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pull out that connection card that we gave you when you walked in. And I want you to check the box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ. It's at the bottom of that connection card. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to send you some next steps as to how you can grow in your faith and how you can become who God has ultimately called you to be and continue to take the steps that he wants you to take to grow in your faith. Amen. Amen, church. Can we put our hands together for those who made a decision to give Christ their life? Come on.